Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. Downtown on the corner of 2nd Street and 2nd Avenue sits a massive brick building that houses one of the most influential film institutions in the city, named Anthology Film Archives. It was founded 50 years ago this month, and the space serves as a movie theater where viewers can watch things on film, not digitally, but streaming on real, tangible film. Anthology also is engaged in a massive film preservation project, ensuring that rare films can continue to be viewed in their original format for future generations. Anthology is celebrating this 50th anniversary, virtually, of course, and asked some of its longtime friends to record tributes to the institution. Here's the one and only John Waters offering his congratulations.
Hi, I'm John Waters, and I'm here to wish Anthology a happy 50th anniversary. 50 years? Of outlaw cinema, underground movies, independent films, too arty for any other theater. Yeah, you've got Kenneth Anger, Ed Emshwiller, Gregory Markopoulos, Andy Warhol, Jonas Mekas, you got them all. Anthology, there's nowhere cooler, and you know that.
With me now to discuss Anthology's history, its upcoming celebratory programming, and what plans they have for the next 50 years in film is programmer Jed Rapfogel. Hi, Jed.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. And archivist John Klaxman. Hi, John.
Hi, Allison. Thanks for having us.
Of course. So, Jed, let's start out. How did Anthology Film Archives originally come into being, and who spearheaded this initiative, Jed?
Well, it was basically spearheaded by Jonas Mekas, who was a Lithuanian immigrant, came over to New York City following the war in the late 40s. And Jonas was basically a kind of individual with volcanic energy who got involved in the kind of explosion of avant-garde experimental film and just culture in general that was taking place really starting in the late 40s and into the 50s and 60s. And Jonas basically ultimately ended up making amazing films of his own, but he, in the 50s and 60s, was really kind of instrumental in taking all this energy and all these different filmmakers who were exploring sort of new realms of filmmaking outside of the commercial mainstream. He basically created a kind of infrastructure. He was kind of a figure who brought people together, created a series of organizations, including a magazine, Film Culture. He created a cooperative distribution company called Filmmakers Cooperative, and then a kind of roaming screening series called the Filmmakers Cinematheque. And at a certain point, he, along with our other co-founders, felt that it was time to create a kind of something more like a museum that would be devoted to showing a certain selection of films kind of throughout the month, a kind of canon, as well as preserving films. And so, yeah, in the late 60s, you know, this kind of idea and the sense that it was time for something that would really kind of preserve, you know, both the films and the experience of watching them theatrically forever came into being. And so that's, yeah, Anthology was created in 1970 at the Joseph Papp Public Theater.
Jonas Mekas also sometimes hosted a reoccurring series on WNYC's airwaves titled Arts Forum. So let's take a listen to a clip of him from this series from 1974.
You cannot teach an artist to be an artist. You cannot teach film as an art, but you can teach maybe craft of making films. But, and also one thing that came through was that you can teach appreciation. You can maybe, if you, those who have been more longer around the film, who have seen more and taught and discussed and argued, maybe those of us have something, could discuss certain aspects that would help those of the audience, those members of the audience who haven't seen or certain films, it would help maybe to understand, to appreciate, to get into that film.
That was Jonas Mekas from 1974. So, Jed, in what ways is teaching film appreciation such a part of Anthology's sort of ethos?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a huge part of the ethos, I think. I mean, again, the sort of, when Anthology was first founded, you know, we have this collection, this selection of films that Jonas and the co-founders created, with the idea being kind of exactly that, that people could go, you know, really almost like a museum to Anthology, and these films would screen on a cycle every month. And so the idea was really, it was like a sort of teacher student. Mm. You would have the opportunity to come to New York City or be in New York City, and over the course of a month, get a kind of education, a sort of survey in, you know, the art of cinema. And so that, you know, we've grown beyond, our programming is now much, much further, goes far beyond the essential cinema. And in fact, the essential cinema, for lack of funding at a certain point, became kind of frozen. It was intended to continue to grow. And so, you know, our programming we think of largely as a kind of, you know, an extension of that. I mean, you know, we still present the essential cinema as it was in its final form, but we do much, much more than that. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of, I think, been at the heart of it for a long time. And now we also, of course, are trying to keep alive and educate people about film projection and the actual, you know, material of what cinema was for those first 100+ years.
Let's bring in archivist John Klaxman to this conversation about Anthology Film Archive's 50th anniversary. John, what are some of the biggest challenges to film preservation today?
Well, everything takes longer than it used to, because when we're doing film preservation, we're mostly preserving films on film. So whereas 10 years ago, sending something to a film lab, you might get something back within a few months and have your project completed, now film restoration projects can take a year or more. So it just takes longer to do than it used to. And of course, there are less film labs than there used to be. Hmm. But it's still a very possible thing to do, and it's something we're still very dedicated to doing.
So, John, I understand that you both digitize films as well as preserve films by making new film prints. Why both methods?
Well, we think it's important at Anthology to, you know, we're really dedicated to the viewing of film on film. So we think it's really important to preserve film on film so that people can continue to watch film prints. But that being said, you know, digital provides a lot of benefits as well, especially when it comes to access. So nowadays, since we can still preserve film on film and do really high quality digitization, we really try to do both and get the benefits of both.
We're talking about Anthology Film Archive's 50th anniversary with archivist John Klaxman and film programmer Jed Rapfogel. So, Jed, I understand as part of the big anniversary celebration, you've programmed a series of films about Jonas Mekas talking to other filmmakers. What do you hope these films, these conversations, how do you think they really relate to the Archive's 50th anniversary?
Yeah, well, again, Jonas, you know, I mean, Jonas is really at the heart of what Anthology was. And I think it bears pointing out that he just passed away last year, in January of last year at the age of 96. And without, there was not a gradual tapering off. I mean, he was very much present and, you know, full of energy and memories, you know, up until the very end. So he's, you know, he was very much a presence as well as a founder. And so, yeah, we've often, you know, and Jonas is somebody who documented himself probably as much as any human being in the last 100 years, but he also appeared on, you know, these different television, public television programs that we in the 70s and 80s that were presenting. And again, he was such a kind of unifying figure. He was really about, you know, creating institutions, creating films, but also creating a community. I think that sort of was at the heart of his project. And so as a result, a lot of filmmakers and artists made movies about him as well. And so, yeah, it just seemed important to, you know, to make that a part of the 50th anniversary. And, you know, the first sort of installment are these three different episodes from three different public television or even public access programs. And the timing is great as far as the anniversary goes, because I think the first one is the year after we opened, 1971. And then the second one is after we lost our initial home at the Public Theater. And then in the last one, I think it's 81, maybe. We had actually acquired our current building, but we're very much in the process of fundraising and you know, conceptualizing. It was still 7 or 8 years off from actually opening. So you get a kind of little mini history within those three episodes.
There's going to be an Essential Film Series. What is the Essential Film Series, Jed?
Well, again, the Essential Cinema is, you know, it was, again, the sort of first iteration of Anthology. When Anthology first opened, it was just these circa 300 films that showed on a cycle. And the idea was basically just to, I mean, this was a period when the idea of the cinema as really an art form, you know, to be put against music and literature and theater was, you know, that was still a relatively new idea. And, you know, certainly the avant-garde cinema did not get, you know, it needed all the help it could get in terms of getting attention and support. And so, yeah, it was really just conceived of as a kind of survey of the achievements and the possibilities of the art form of cinema.
And you're going to be screening Rossellini's The Taking of Power by Louis the 14th. Why that film?
Well, that's us basically trying to negotiate the challenge of the pandemic and the fact that our theaters are closed. And in theory, we show the Essential Cinema on a cycle like we did in the past alongside, you know, much other programming. But in reality, for lack of good quality prints or accessible prints, some of the films we really haven't been able to show over the years. The Taking of Power by Louis XIV, it's not only just a towering masterpiece, just a truly great film, but it's also one that is a little more easily available right now digitally than on film. So we thought we would take the opportunity to, you know, show a basically a kind of rarely screened Essential Cinema film.
And John, in our last moments, can you describe the ways in which Anthology has historically served not just as a place to view these amazing films, but also as a community hub for filmmakers?
Sure. I mean, Anthology was started by filmmakers, and it's a meeting point for so many filmmakers to come and view this whole genre of cinema and learn about it, and a place where new works in this genre are still being screened. So it's really a community meeting spot for so many people in New York City, but also people who are visiting New York
and
who are interested in this type of cinema.
And Jed, in 30 seconds, can you tell me about some of the major renovations planned?
Well, yeah, we've had this project in the works now for the last several years, I mean, really actively, and the idea is really to expand the space and the facilities we have for the collections, you know, more archival space, more space for our paper library, you know, and just more sort of facilities for preservation. It's not going to affect the sort of movie-going experience so much, but it's going to expand our you know, collection of spaces, which is extremely important to us.
Of course. Anthology Film Archives is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Jeb Ratfogel and John Klaxman from Anthology, thank you so much for joining us, and happy anniversary.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.